Okay, so this session is titled something about understanding underreporting of injuries. And I'm going to spend the next little bit of time talking about the Steelworker Union's perspective on this issue and share with you a couple of examples of some of the things we're experiencing. And I think I've tried to make certain that I have no disclosure to make. So I have, I guess, still hopefully something of value in the following slides. So I wanted to start with a couple of examples, and examples that we run into on a day-to-day basis of what goes on in our workplaces that keeps people from reporting injuries. And the first example came from the April Anacortes, Washington explosion at the Tesoro refinery. And in the immediate aftermath, the company issued a statement that this is a quote from their website, but it's something to the effect of, Tesoro's recordable injury rates have declined by 30% over 3 years, and the Anacortes refinery was recognized in 2006 and 2007 by the National Petrochemical and Refiners Association with a gold award for outstanding safety employment. And this is to put in context what our members are seeing, hearing, and understanding to be the work rules in their workplace around injury records. Another example came to us in an email. It was a rather lengthy email from a member, and I apologize for having this many words on a slide, but I'm going to try to summarize this. An activist from a local union sent us an email to explain to us about an injury that took place in his workplace. And if you can read it on here, a worker was working, driving a piece of mobile equipment that a hydraulic line broke and sprayed the driver of the equipment in the eyes. This was about 3:30 in the morning, and they were taken to the office and told to sit there until after the morning safety meeting that was going to take place at 7 a.m. After some, I can only imagine, a little bit of boisterous conversation about that, they agreed a little bit later, at 5 in the morning, to take them to the ER. When they got to the ER, the first thing that took place, which is pretty commonplace in our workplaces, is that the victim was given a urinalysis for drug screening and a breathalyzer for alcohol. Why? This, again, quoting from our member's email on this, obviously he purposefully broke that line and sprayed himself in the eyes. And their conclusion, this is one tactic to prevent our members from reporting injuries. This actually goes on. This was, as I said, a pretty long email. After being treated at the ER, the nurse prescribed Vicodin and ordered him to go home for 24 hours off work to recuperate. The safety coordinator, who was a management member from the facility, told the employee that this would be a lost time OSHA recordable injury and that the facility's perfect OSHA record would be damaged and that would take away their monthly safety lunches. So they asked the member that if he could ask the nurse not to prescribe the Vicodin and not to give him 24 hours away from work, that they would give him 3 days of paid time off to recover so that it wouldn't damage their safety records. So this is, again, two examples of things that we experience every day from our members that is going on in the workplaces of employers' focus on injury rates. And I'm sorry, kind of into that. The employee agreed. The worker agreed. The victim agreed to take that 3 days off and go home and recover. And this is, again, what's going on in our workplaces. Our employers are truly focusing on OSHA injury rates to measure their success in health and safety. And this happens at the workplace level, as in that last example, and at the corporate office, as in the first example from Tesoro. And there are many more examples of this. I wanted to give you a couple of more. This is from the 2009 corporate responsibility report from an employer. I removed their name to protect the innocent workers that work there. This is a quote out of it. Our associates have driven a dramatic and steady improvement in reducing global incidents each year, and the trend continued in 2009. Blank Rubber Employer achieved a 22% decrease in the number of incidents and illness and injury from 2008. So from 2008 into 2009, they dropped significantly. That's highlighted in their corporate responsibility sustainability report, and these go on and on and on. Here's another example, this one from a paper employer, and again from the corporate website, a multinational paper company. Work-related injuries and illnesses are tracked and reported at all sites throughout the paper employer, with a particular focus on incidents resulting in days away from work, lost time accidents. And they just had a definition of lost time accidents included on the website. These are pretty readily available. Just get to almost any employer's website and do a quick search for safety injury rates, and things like this pop up all over the place. A third example, this is from a steel industry employer, and just as a side note, this is actually an employer with a very good health and safety program in place and pretty decent record keeping. But, you know, again, they're focused on this at the corporate level that they're quoting on their website their safety results. The year-to-date OSHA recordable rate is 1.3, and year-to-date lost time rate is 0. And so the reading on a little bit further in it, 45% of the employer locations have worked without an OSHA recordable in 2010, and 100% of the locations have worked without a lost time injury. So again, over and over again, our members are feeling the stress from their employer of focusing solely on OSHA rates to determine whether or not they're doing well on health and safety at their workplace. The last example of what's going on at these workplaces and the employers that we represent is from an aluminum manufacturing employer that we represent workers at. And in monthly productivity conference calls, they start by talking about health and safety. And the CEO in the conference calls with the plant managers from each of the facilities identifies the bottom 10%, the worst safety performing 10% workplaces from the past month, based solely on the number of reported injuries, and calls them on the carpet, and spends 30 minutes of an hour and a half phone call to talk about production and all other sorts of issues, determining why those 10% of the facilities have such a bad health and safety performance from the last month. Now, what we've experienced in these, is that rarely do those plant managers allow their facility to be in the bottom 10% the second month in a row. But unfortunately, it's a pretty finite number of manufacturing facilities. It becomes a downward spiral that you can never get out of, because as the merry-go-round goes around and around, your facility eventually comes back again, and more pressure is put on the workers by the employer's drive for a low injury rate. And so this is just the introduction to the pressures that our members, workers in these facilities, are feeling not to report injuries, illnesses, hazards, near miss, and any other unsafe concerns they may have. So a couple of samples then of the employers feeling this pressure from the corporation at the facility level. So what do they do at the facility level? They do a number of things and integrate and implement a number of programs, policies, or procedures that help to reduce the rate of reported injuries. These are just a few examples. Behavioral observation programs, safety incentive programs, injury discipline programs, both formal and informal, post-injury drug testing, and focusing solely on days without reported injuries. So to try to bring this to the members of the Steelworkers Union perspective, in 2009, we surveyed the union delegates at a health and safety conference and got about 440 responses of our members that were attending the conference. And this is a few excerpts from the responses that we got. More than half of the people responding reported that their workplace has a safety incentive program that's based on individual reporters who didn't report injuries. When we do training, we talk to our members about incentive programs, and one of the things I like to do is to say, okay, you know, what's the prize? Who in this room has the best prize? And the items that are the results or the prizes for the incentive programs range from cookies or lunch, up to cars, trucks, boats, $10,000 in cash, and trips to Hawaii for you and your family. So it truly does range, the cover the gamut of what employers are providing as a result of the safety incentive programs in the workplaces that we represent. Going on a little bit further about safety incentive programs, those are the first bullet, the individual programs, that as long as I go a certain amount of time, my name goes in a hat for the prize. The second one, is that half of our folks reporting on this survey said that in their workplace they have the programs in place that a group of workers, so all of us in this room work in department 1, 2, 3, and as long as nobody reports an injury this month, all of us receive a prize, a $25 gas card, a day where we get to have a lunch cooked outside by plant facility management, and so there's even added stress and pressures on our members. A little bit further on some of the other things we asked. Again, more than half of our workplaces reported that injury discipline policies or practices where workers are threatened or receive discipline when they report an injury. Further on, more than half of the workplaces with reported post-injury drug testing where workers receive automatic drug testing when they reported an injury or sought medical treatment. And this is, and it says in the case that we highlighted with the example at the beginning here, this is often happening in places and situations where people really truly need medical treatment immediately, but they're held up until they've had a hair follicle removed or pee in a cup. Then they also reported to us that in almost 90% of our workplaces are the signs and the other ways to denote that we've gone X number of days without a recorded injury. And sometimes they're signs like the sign on the left, and in other cases they're stoplights or digital signs that demonstrate what's gone on in the facility over a period of time. Just that picture that was on the bottom right-hand corner is from a facility that the photo here was taken the day after a triple fatality. And just prior to the fatality, they had achieved a string of days without a lost time injury. And it's important to note, you know, the sign over there on the right with the conduit running over it, safety on the job begins here. And the little guy standing under the stoplight that says, safety is attitude, awareness, alertness, and accountability. So these things are, again, are very prevalent. Our members also, we also asked and they reported back that the majority of those surveys said that these employer practices and policies discourage their coworkers, our members, from reporting injuries. And so there's a lot of pressures, not just that employer drive for low injury rate that I showed up there earlier, but there's a lot of different pressures on the workers in these facilities that where we represent workers to keep them from reporting injuries. Employers have also done a good job of figuring out that they need to make sure that this isn't overtly looking like they're keeping people from reporting injuries. So they often also have in place a policy that says something to the effect of you, worker, are required to report your injury immediately or by the end of the hour or by the end of the shift after it's happened. And if you don't, you'll be disciplined. And so one of the challenges that we have, OSHA has, anyone else that's looking at this situation has, is when you pull a group of workers together and you ask them, has anybody, do you know anybody who hasn't reported an injury? You'll often get hands up. Can any of you tell me if you didn't report an injury? The hands all go down because they know they're put into the box that if they admit that they didn't report the injury, they're going to be disciplined. And it's often up to and including discharge. So I've worked here for 20 years. It puts bread on the table. I've got a pension and I would like to keep it. Versus I'll tell OSHA that, yes, I didn't report an injury. The other thing that happens more often than not with these policies that are in place that say you have to report immediately is that up until somebody is caught not reporting, there's no discipline for them, and they're only caught when we're looking at it or somebody's looking at it and drawing attention to all of the reasons that people aren't reporting. And so management has rarely issued any discipline in this, but is always issuing the drug test or the discipline following the reporting of an injury. So you know you're going to be disciplined if you report the injury, and if you don't report, boy, nobody's really ever gotten caught before, so I'm going to take that chance and do that calculation and determine how best to move forward. So again, about half of our folks tell us that they've got these policies in place that are the CYA from their employer about reporting the incident. We also have done another survey, and this survey was with a specific industry. It was with the paper industry, and specifically within the paper industry, primary paper mills, the facilities that are making the stock of paper. And so we did we had 173 local unions at paper mills respond to a survey in 2008. And pretty similar numbers to the survey at our health and safety conference. 72% of local unions report that employers conduct post-injury drug tests always or sometimes. 71% of local unions report that management offers the incentive programs facility-wide for time without reported injuries. And 66% of local unions report that management disciplines, including suspension workers, always or sometimes when they're involved in an incident. So again, we have all those pressures that we were outlining a little bit ago that our members are under not to report their injuries. So one of the questions that we raise and try to work with our locals on to understand better, but how many of our workplace OSHA record-keeping logs may be affected by injury reporting? And given the research that we've done from our health and safety conference a couple of years ago and the paper study, we think it's safe to say at least 90% of the OSHA logs in our workplaces may very well be and probably likely are affected by these programs, policies, or procedures that are in place. So back to my little diagram of the pressures on workers to keep them from reporting. There are a tremendous amount of pressures from people just wanting to maintain their livelihood and their job, to the fear of discipline, to the peer pressure of being the second to the last day of the month, and if we get to the end of the month, somebody in here is going to go home with the new fishing rod and reel, so I'm not going to report, because if I report, Nancy or somebody's going to have a problem with me for the rest of our working life together. And so what this has done is as the pressure has really affected our workers. Our members have become victims of record keeping in and of itself because of these programs and policies and procedures that have kept them from reporting injuries. When injuries, illnesses, and near misses and hazards are not reported, they're not investigated, and they can't be corrected. And so we know this is a severe problem. One of the things our union does is to ensure that every time there's a workplace fatality, we either assist a local union or we perform an accident investigation following the fatality. And in too many of these situations, almost all of us from the union's health and safety department who investigate the fatalities have experienced at least one time a worker who has come to us during the course of a fatality investigation and said, boy, if I only had reported that near miss or minor cut from the same hazard that killed the person that's dead on the floor, maybe this would not have happened. And that's a line that we all from the union's health, safety, environment department have drawn and said, we know this is a problem. We have to get a better handle around it. We've got to help our locals to eliminate those policies and procedures that are keeping them from reporting injuries. And so our union in this past year in 2010 has initiated a campaign to stop the Blame the Worker programs.